May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I was struck very forcibly on Thursday evening by how close we all live to one another in this shrinking world. My wife and I belong to a jazz club that meets in Dorking on a Thursday evening. And whenever we're not otherwise occupied, we will go there and enjoy what is on offer, which is usually very good. On this occasion, the band was led by a bass player called Alan Shipton, who is also an announcer on Radio 3. And the band was accompanying a singer called Gwyneth Herbert, who was singing the songs of Billie Holiday, one of which was a song some of you might know called Strange Fruit, which was a protest song written, as it happens, by a Jew and sung by Billie Holiday as a protest against the prejudice and the lynchings that had been taking place in the southern states at the time. The singer made a comment about how appropriate that song was in the light of the racial and religious tensions in Europe right now. But what really hit home was that the bass player introduced the evening by speaking about the dreadful shootings that had just happened in Paris. And he dedicated the evening to his friend Jean Cabou, who was a prominent cartoonist on the satirical newspaper called Charlie Hebdo, where the shootings occurred, and who was one of the staff of that paper who lost his life this week. Because he told us all about this, we found ourselves only two steps away from the man who had been killed, because we know Alan Shipton and Jean Cabou is his friend. And now that I've told you, you are only three steps away from him. The actions of the fundamentalist terrorists are terribly close. We must never let them win by letting them turn us also into angry and prejudiced people. This must never happen to people who believe in the God of love. We need desperately to deny them the power to make us violent or judgmental or prejudiced. We need to place their dreadful behavior in a proper perspective, a universal perspective. What a gift, therefore, today's Bible readings are in placing our little lives in the context of a big creation. Listen. 13.8 billion years since the singularity gave birth to the Big Bang and started the clocks ticking in our universe. Light came shortly afterwards, and it was not long before the temperatures fell far enough for us to be able to copy what was going on in the Large Hadron Collider. But it was only a short time ago, only 4.5 billion years ago, that the Earth was born, the daughter of a second generation star, the Sun. The Holy Spirit, as promised, is leading us into all truth. And we now know what the writer of the book of Genesis could not possibly have known. We know our place. We know the immense scale of the universe and the vast stretches of time involved in creation. But that does not mean that Genesis is wrong. Archbishop Usher's calculations were wrong when he made some unwarranted assumptions about the Bible and the nature of inspiration and came to the conclusion that the world was only about 6,000 years old, having been created in 4004 BC. But that doesn't make the book of Genesis wrong either. You just have to know how to read it. Wind and water, light and dark, heaven and earth, the beginning. There is a quiet joy in the opening of Genesis. Quiet, not because it's only slightly exciting, but because we know at once that these are the soft opening notes of a theme that will grow and swell, rise and develop, until the whole orchestra has joined in with wild, exuberant harmony and counterpoint. Even that will only be the completion of the beginning. God saw that it was good, but there was more. The wind of God sweeps over the waters. Difficult to know how much to hear in that phrase. Wind is the same Hebrew word as spirit, or even spirit with a capital S. There's a good deal to be said for thinking that the writer and the editors and the transmitters of Genesis chapter 1 would not have made the finicky post-enlightenment distinctions that we do. A full range of meaning is available, from a mighty wind right through to the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. The wind blows where it wills, and we don't know its origin or its destination. So it often is with meaning. The real meaning encompasses all the little meanings and more. Best to spread your sail and be carried along. But there is more. Fast forward 4.5 billion years to the New Testament. And actually to the sermon I preached at 8 o'clock on Christmas morning. Not for nothing do we find John the Baptist in the prologue to St. John's Gospel, up there along with light and life, part of a new Genesis. As Mark in our Gospel this morning makes clear, John's baptism is a signal of new creation. He appears as a prophet, a sign of renewal and restoration in his garb, his diet, his location, his message, and his very person. Forgiveness of sins was not just what everyone knew they needed personally. It was what Israel needed, because unforgiven sin was directly linked in the consciousness of that nation with the present parlous state of Israel's national fortunes. The meaning of a royal pardon is not simply that the prisoner enjoys a good feeling of innocence restored, but more important, they actually get out of jail. That's what they were looking for. Scarcely surprising, then, that in our second reading, we find disciples of John surviving in Turkey 25 years later. His message had spread far and wide. But you can't stop with John. Just as Genesis moves forward, so does the story of which John knows he is a part. John prepares the water and invokes the Spirit, through which will come judgment and also mercy. The new day which will show up the night as darkness. Notice how God saw that the light was good and separated it from the darkness. Think what that might have meant for a first century Jew. And then it happens. Oh, what's this? A figure emerges from the water. Heaven and earth are suddenly present to each other. Wind becomes spirit. Spirit becomes a dove. every section of the orchestra takes up the theme, and over it all is heard a solo voice. My son, my beloved, my delight. God saw that it was good. What does God see now at the start of this new year? Lord, let us look and see if we can see where the dark, formless voids are that still await the rushing, mighty wind of your Spirit. And Lord, let us look and see in ourselves and in the world we touch where the signs of your new creation are. Amen.